Welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio, EWTN Radio, and aired across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm here in studio with my good friend and brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
What's up, Patrick?
And Dan, we have a very, very serious, it's like a life or death style show in my mind. We have Kim Zember with us, and she's going to be sharing with us a very, very powerful testimony of overcoming a lifestyle of homosexuality.
Wow.
This is a topic that we have not covered on Encounter Radio, but I know is near and dear to so many hearts. So, Dan, before we get into it, we need to pray for that spirit of reverence, that spirit of courage to be upon our listeners as we enter into this thing. Go for it, Dan.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good and gracious God, we just pray that your presence would fall right now. We pray that hard hearts would be just softened, Lord, that the ears would be open. Lord, we pray that that our minds would be renewed so that we would think like you think and love like you love.
And Father, I just pray that they're against the spirit of judgment, against the spirit of condemnation. So I just pray that our listeners would know if you're feeling condemnation, judgment, you're not hearing God. Because God, your voice is mercy, your voice is love, and your voice is restoration, because you came to restore humanity with the love of the Father. And we just pray the Father's love to touch every listener and the promises of God that none shall be lost, and that you will leave the 99 to search out the one. So Lord, anyone that has family, friends that are falling away, God, we just declare that our God leaves the 99 with reckless love, seeking after the one. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Wow.
Wow. It's going to be intense.
Yeah. So many times, Dan, we're like yelling like, yay, Holy Spirit's going to break everything. He's going to wreck us. And like, now it's like, whoa, there's something, there's a serious teaching, and there's a spirit of reverence that comes over, fear of the Lord. And I feel that right now.
Mm.
And I really want to just jump into the word with you, Dan. Ephesians chapter 4. I mean, we're living in a nation where the law of the land through the Supreme Court is that you can get married to whoever you want.
Yep.
And I mean, I know 10 years ago, that was crazy that this would ever become the law of the land. We don't live by human wisdom, but we live by God's truth.
Yeah.
We choose to fear God over fear of man. We're willing to go to the cross. We're willing to die for the truth, whatever it might be.
Yep.
And this is the reality that we're entering into right now. So Kim Zember is one of the most courageous women of God I've met, and what she's going to be sharing with us is incredible. So if you have young ears, I'm just going to say right here, if you have young people that have never heard the topic of homosexuality covered, this is just a parental advisory warning right now. But I really want to start off a little teaching right now in Ephesians chapter 4, where St. Paul is calling us in verse 14 to attain the unity of faith. This is chapter 4, verse 14, or verse 13 and 14 and all. He's calling us that we might attain the unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ. So we're called to unity of faith. We're called to the full stature of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, so that we may no longer be infants, tossed by waves and swept along by every wind of teaching arising from human trickery, from their cunning and the interest of deceitful scheming. So there's these teachings that are coming up that Paul is warning us to, that we're not going to be tossed away by these new winds of doctrine, these cunning and deceitful schemes. Rather, verse 15, living the truth in love, we should grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, with a proper functioning of each part, brings about the body's growth and builds itself up in love. That we're connected we're the body, and we're connected to Christ the head,
mm-hmm.
and all truth flows from him. So unless we get the truth right, we're not going to get the love part right. And so in regard to sexuality, including this confusion about human sexuality, if we don't get that right, love is not going to flow through the body.
Yeah, it's just like that. I love that image of being tossed around by the waves of trickery and deceit, right? Like, and that's just the culture we're in right now. That our young people are just being tossed around, and it's just so deceitful. Where in the garden, what does a serpent do? He just kind of twists the truth to confuse people, and it's so easy for the truth of God's love and human sexuality to be twisted by the evil one to see that, oh, well, this seems good. It seems like we're loving the person, but it's just the evil one just twisting, right? We read in John chapter 3, I love John, the Gospel of John, because just John starts from heaven's perspective. He's right, like the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then John 3 is talking to Nicodemus, and he's like, "We need to be born from above," right? He's talking about this new life that we find, a heavenly life. And then he says, "But this is the verdict, right? That the life came into the world, that the light came into the world, but people preferred the darkness to the light." That there's this like cosmic reality going on, that the light has come into the world, but people are preferring the darkness to the light because their works were evil, he says. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come towards the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. Right? That there's this reality that we all face struggles and difficulties. And a lot of times I think we keep our struggles and difficulties in the darkness, and we hide them from each other, and we don't want anyone to know. But when things are exposed to the light, the Lord can heal them. And what you're going to hear from Kim isn't just a story of sin. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of the light coming into her life and washing away the darkness. And I just want to speak to all of our listeners that the light has come into the world, and the darkness has not, cannot, will not overcome it. And if any of you have darkness in your life, if any of you have family members and loved ones with darkness in their life, the light has come into the world, and the darkness will not triumph against it. And so, Lord, we just call to you who are the light of the world, and we just pray that you would use this show today to penetrate hearts, to expose darkness, and I just pray that your light would rush into minds and renew minds, that your light would rush into hearts and renew hearts, that it would transform. Lord, I pray that when the light comes in the world, the people would not prefer the darkness to the light, but that we would prefer you, that we would choose you over anything else.
And Lord, I pray for anyone that's struggling with same-sex attraction, who's has confusion, no matter what the roots might be, God, I pray that you would give grace, infuse supernatural grace, that the what you've done in Kim's life, you would do that in other people's lives, that you would infuse this courage, that you would raise up prophetic voices, not just to speak objective truth, but to speak into individual hearts, hearts speaking to hearts, cor ad loquitur cor. So God, I pray that there would be a boldness in our church, God, that we would continue to hear your voice, and that you are the shepherd, we're the sheep, that we hear your voice, we recognize your voice, we don't recognize the voice of the enemy. So Lord, we just pray for that truth to flow over our listeners today. And we just pray that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And this is just, once again, we're about to go to our break, but I just want to be very clear, again, this is just a parental advisory, that if you do have people listening to the show that are younger, we're going to be hearing this conversion story of someone coming out of a lifestyle of homosexuality. We're going to hear a lot about human sexuality alive in the world today. So we just want to make sure that there is a prudence that is over everyone here. So you're listening to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio, EWTN Radio, and aired across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And when we come back on the flip side, we're going to be hearing the courageous story of the conversion of Kim Zember from a lifestyle of homosexuality into one of chastity and God's love. Stay tuned.
CNA, the online service from EWTN News, is the only Catholic news source that's fast, reliable, and free with blogs, stories, opinions, and analysis, all at your fingertips. For the latest Catholic news, visit CatholicNewsAgency.com.
This is Cy Kellett. Join me for Catholic Answers Live. It's 2 hours dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Designed for Catholics and non-Catholics alike, it's your opportunity to hear from and talk with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. You've got questions? We've got Catholic answers. Catholic Answers Live weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The EWTN Warriors Rosary is a fitting tribute to all the spiritual warriors who have stood by us over the years. Handcrafted, each rosary is a unique creation. Get yours today. Visit EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We are joined back in the studio, or back on the phone, actually, with Kim Zember. Kim, welcome to Encounter.
Yeah, welcome, Kim.
Wow, you guys' excitement actually just, like, injected into me. I needed that. Amen.
Heck yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. So, Kim, we're really excited for you to share your story. Can you share, give our listeners, like, a vignette of your upbringing?
All right. So, born and raised Catholic. Went to private Catholic school, third grade through eighth grade. And then went into public school, but completely raised in the foundation of the Catholic faith, went through, and received all the sacraments, and along with my two older brothers as well, always at church on Sundays, always had good relationships with the priests as well. They were kind of family friends, and just always have, and I know I will always continue to, just a true joy when it comes to my childhood and kind of background into my childhood and young adult life. So that's very based in the faith.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So Kim,
and awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. I know we're the subject that we're talking about with you today is on, you know, sexuality and especially like homosexuality and things like that. So how, can you tell us the story of like, how did you kind of fall into that lifestyle?
Yeah, so super brief on it to try to encompass it all is basically third grade through eighth grade I was in private Catholic school, and I just felt there was an extreme covering over me. Some might call it sheltered. I choose to see God's grace and His covering just completely over me. But into public high school, a lot of, you know, as a little fish in a very big pond now. And just temptations were prevalent. Drugs and alcohol were never really something that I chose to dive into, knowing that I just had a very sound foundation. And so I just knew that was something I should pretty much just avoid, or I'd probably love it. And so stayed away from that. But I was born, no doubt, from a very young age, everybody said, with just this passion, this vigor, and this hunger for life and for a challenge. And unfortunately in high school, I hooked that challenge and that vigor and passion into, some really unhealthy things in it. And it really started with, kind of women actually. And so men came easy to me. And I don't mean that arrogant at all. But it was never really challenging to get a boyfriend. But girls on the other end, were a little bit of a challenge. And so I took this, this little carrot that was dangling, and I went after it, and kind of opened doors, with just one lady in particular, one girl in particular. And that just opened the door, right there for a new hunger.
Wow.
I had tasted a sample of something, and I ended up, absolutely craving it.
Wow. So Kim, I have a question. Did you like, were you not attracted to guys? You were attracted to guys. Well, how would you describe it?
Okay. Yeah, I was attracted to men. You know, I think it's important to say this as well, as I didn't experience, any abuse in my life. I have a beautiful and had a beautiful relationship with my father and my two brothers, and, never experienced sexual or physical or emotional, abuse at all. So men were not anything I was turned off by in any sense. And I found them attractive. I dated them in high school. I wasn't like a, you know, crazy dater, but, I had a physical attraction to them. But I also had a strength inside that I felt, that was somewhat like dominant, and what maybe the world might call masculine. It was hard to find a man that was almost more dominant or more masculine, but I was always attracted to men, for sure.
Wow. Okay. So how did that, like, you know, how did that start? Like, what's the background of the story with this girl?
Yeah, so it came, there was a girl that Beautiful, very, very attractive girl. She, I guess, around school, they would say that maybe she was a lesbian, something like that. And I mean no offense at all, but you would never necessarily guess that, you know. And so it just sparked an interest in me. I thought, well, that sounds challenging, and she's attractive, because I was physically attracted to her. I mean, she was a beautiful woman. Not necessarily sexually attracted, if you can differentiate between the two, but there was just an attraction there. And so it sparked something inside of me of that challenge of, oh, could you get this? Could this be something you could do? So it just began that way. And it turned out it wasn't challenging at all. And she was not operating in that lifestyle at all. She wasn't even, having those desires. We became friends. But she was kind of a secret friend. I was what maybe would be called more popular, and I don't know that she hit that. I mean, people liked her. She was a sweetheart, but she may have not had the quote-unquote following. And so I had this, like, secret friendship with her and wouldn't really tell my friends about it, my, like, close friends. And then it just escalated. I started kind of poking around. How could I maybe see if I could get her to like me in that way? And if we could make this happen. So I was kind of plotting, to be honest. It's a little disturbing looking back. But I was really plotting from the very beginning, to see if I could get this girl, you know, and ended up doing that, slowly and steadily. And it was just really a lot of people might say, oh, well, that was, you know, that's harmless. It started off harmless, but the intent of my heart wasn't right either. I wasn't in a friendship for the betterment of her and this and that. It was about me and what I wanted. It was very self-driven, very self-motivated. And so through the course of a few months, then something physical did happen between us. We had a moment per se, and then it just, that's where everything kind of shifted in my life. It was like, oh my gosh, now I tasted this. Now I like this. And now I want more. You know, it's like if you never ate a brownie, I don't know that you're going to crave one. So now I had this crave and this hunger inside, and I started looking for it now.
Wow. It's kind of like Katy Perry, right? She kissed the girl and she liked it.
Yeah, I don't suggest taking that advice. God bless her. Truly, God bless her. I pray she uses that microphone for beauty. But to say, yeah, you kiss a girl and you might like it, yeah, be careful. And it is not... You know, so many people, oh, it's innocent. It's, you know, they're just experimenting. You know, it's the same to be said for drugs and alcohol and all these other things. So it's the hunger of the flesh. You know, you feed something and you know, it's just scary what doors could be opened.
So that shifted kind of your heart in a way. Like what happened after high school then?
So then after high school, it just kind of continued. I actually went right into real estate and in San Diego, and that was in 2002. Like three, I was 18 years old, and the market was just crazy, crazy, crazy. I could sit at Starbucks and sell six homes, and so I was making money. I just was kind of getting everything I quote unquote wanted, and but that challenge was not in my career, so I had to find it elsewhere, and I already tasted it in high school, and so I just continued on. I would find and the women that I was quote unquote attracted to or drawn to were always. They were heterosexual. They were not women that were dating women. They were women that were dating men. I didn't care if they had a husband. That was more challenging. I mean, it really got very disturbing, especially as I look back and see the patterns. I continued. I would usually find one only. I was not interested at all in multiple partners. I wasn't sleeping. By the way, when I was dating men, I was not sleeping with them. At all. I knew in my heart that it was not right. But I think I just let myself do what I wanted to do with it when it came to women. And I wouldn't draw the line. It usually stopped it at like kissing, you know, and just, so I was hungry for a companion too, though. You know, there was so much intertwined in that. And I was hungry for, companionship and intimacy. But the world wants to just scream that intimacy means sex, you know? And I can't blame the world, because I chose and I listened. But yeah, so that just continued. I found one woman and that went on for 3 years, you know, just this kind of, and it was secret secret always. It was the secret life I was living. So now I was living amongst an amazing family, wonderful friends, and a church community as well.
And you're still going to Mass and practicing like the sacraments, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I was at church every Sunday, and I wanted to be at church. This wasn't out of like a, I'm going to like a, what people might say is Catholic guilt. This was from my heart. I wanted the Lord. I wanted, the relationship with him, but my flesh was hungry and I was feeding it. And I was really serving two gods. On Sunday, I would serve the God within the walls. And, you know, Monday through Saturday, I was serving my flesh and my desires. And I was dating men at the time too, one at a time, but you know, it was just messy. It was really messy.
Now you ended up getting married, right?
I did.
To a man.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me that story.
So about 20, I started dating, this gentleman I was in my early 20s, and, he was a lover of the Lord. He was not Catholic, but he had a relationship with the Lord. And then when I met him and when we started dating, I found out that I knew the Lord and he loved the Lord. And I wanted what he had. And so I felt that dating him, you know, to be around him was kind of the way that was going to happen. And so we ended up dating, but I thought it was in my power to just stop hooking up with a woman. You know, and so I was like, no, this man's great. I'm going to just stop. But then I ended up, you know, back with this woman and still entertaining her while dating him. And so the long short of it all, we ended up going, this guy I was dating, I had one encounter with him that's pretty important. And I'll try to make it quick. He had shared with me that he loved me. And like I said, we weren't sleeping together. He wasn't looking for anything except my heart. And he had told me he loved me, and it just didn't resonate. I was operating in a very materialistic, very self-absorbed lifestyle. And so I couldn't understand a man that was operating internally could love someone that was operating externally. And so I was actually very upset when he told me he loved me. And started arguing with him that he didn't love me, and he thought I was crazy, which I, looking back, really was. I was confused. I was lost. And he told me, Kim, I love your heart. And I didn't even accept that. I said, what's my heart? And he couldn't describe it to me. He just said, God has showed me your heart, and I love it. And that's all I can say. And I said, well, you can go home. And I said, if you can't tell me my heart. And he said, God will tell you your heart. You got to ask him. And he left. And I laid on my bed that night. And I said, God, show me my heart. And he showed me Africa. And when I was a kid, I had a deep hunger to go to Africa. I had completely forgot about it. And so that night, when I asked God to show me my heart, he brought me over and showed me, you know, 12 years before that or whatever it was, this hunger that he put in my heart for Africa. And no joke, the next day, after I asked God to show me a heart, I booked a ticket to Africa.
Wow.
And so that's a whole nother story. But, the long and short of it, this guy that I was dating, and I ended up going over, I went back actually the first time by myself over to Africa, and ended up starting a nonprofit at 23 and serving widows and orphans. And then he ended up coming and moving over there with me. And
wow.
That's where God showed me the passions, the hunger, the vigor, the won't quit till I get it. Where I saw that those were all gifts because they were linked right in his kingdom, right in his will. And so, the favor over my life and over the things that were burning in my heart in Ethiopia, were just incredible. And I was for the first time in my life, for the first time, fulfilled. But because I brought him along with me, I felt that we had to do this together, you know, and I was kind of scared that I wouldn't have a relationship with God if he weren't in my life. So the picture I get is it was God and then this man holding God's hand and then this guy I was dating holding my hand. So he was like the connector, you know?
Yeah.
And so, he proposed, after we got back from Ethiopia, from living there for almost a year. And I said yes, because I was scared that I would lose something, that I would lose, you know, the path I was on, that I couldn't do it by myself. And so I put really everything on his shoulders. And so I said yes to marrying him, though I knew in my heart it wasn't right. And then I laid down the sexuality. I was like, okay, Lord, well, I can't be sleeping with women and get married. You know, that's really a line I'm not willing to cross. And so I told God, before we got married, I said, God, I will not ever be with another woman again. I choose this man and I will be with this man, but I put it all on my shoulders. It was me in my power. I wouldn't do it. I didn't ask for his saving grace over me. I didn't ask for the blood of the Lamb to wash over me and cleanse me, and for the Holy Spirit to fill me and lead me and guide me and purify me. I did it all in my own. And as many may know, that can only last so long, because we need a Savior. And I was acting as my own. And so, yeah, I got married. And then within, I think it was even just a few months, I ended up cheating on him with a married woman. So it was like, it reminds me of the scriptures where the spirit is cast out and then comes back, you know, sevenfold.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would have never imagined that I would have been standing in the place I was standing at that time in my life. If somebody would have told me that when I was in high school, just messing around, quote unquote, you know, just having fun and experimenting, that I would have been where I was, you know, 8 years or whatever it was prior, I would have called them a liar. They wouldn't know me. And there I was standing in it, and it was miserable.
Wow. Miserable. So, like, what shifted? Like, how did you ended up getting out of this? Like, what encounter?
Yeah.
Happened?
Well, you know, I knew that it was wrong. I ended up telling my husband that I was cheating. I could not live with it. I couldn't, and it was just I was going through depression, everything. Never got on any pills or anything like that, but it was low. I didn't want to be living, and anybody who knows me, I love life. Even if I'm not living it the greatest, I still just love life. And I didn't want it anymore, and I knew there was a problem. And so I ended up sharing with him everything I did and what I had been doing. And he wanted to keep working on the marriage, and I just couldn't. I knew it wasn't right in the beginning. And so we ended up going through a divorce, and then I actually fell back into dating women. I dated the woman I cheated on him with. And, you know, because I was seeking counsel, I want to just mention this real quick. I was seeking counsel through the church throughout this whole journey, and I felt very much that I was receiving kind of worldly advice, you know, that, no, you're a good person, you have a good heart, you know, God made you different. You know, if you're with one person, if this is, you know, not just about sex and this is about love, then it's okay to be with a woman. And, you know, the priests would kind of beat around the bush of, you know, not being very direct of, oh, it's okay to be with a woman. But I mean, they were saying it because they weren't saying otherwise. And so I was really, though I knew in my heart it wasn't right, I just knew when I'd fall asleep at night, I'd know. And, but I kind of heard what I wanted to hear. You know, and so I ended up continuing to date women, and then going back and forth to Ethiopia. I was just kind of jumping between these two lives, you know, a life of passion, real passion, and then a life of fleshly passion. And so where it all changed, though, I was dating one girl. I had just come back from Ethiopia. I was dating this girl only for a few months, and I went to Ethiopia for about a month to take care of some things. And I get back to find out that she had cheated on me with her best friend. And I just realized right then and there that this is a very vicious circle that is not getting any better, and probably is just going to continue to get worse. And so it was October 17th, 2014. That October 17th is my birthday. I consider that the day that I actually really, truly came to life. And so October 17th, 2014, I surrendered. After her and I had broke up, I was with a best friend of mine who's actually the youth pastor at our local parish in San Diego. And I was with him, and I threw my hands up in the air, and I said, Lord, I give up. I surrender. I cannot do this anymore. I am so far gone from the person that you created me to be. And with my hands up and my just eyes shut and tears streaming down my face, I said, I give you 1 year, Lord. I give you 1 year. I won't date. I won't date a woman. I won't date a man. I will be yours and yours alone. And I switched one of the rings on my finger over to my wedding finger. And I said, God, I'm yours. I give you 1 year. And I'm sorry that I'm only on lease, but I just need you to reveal yourself to me in such a great measure that I can't deny it. And I will follow you. And that night he rocked me. My friend brought me to a prayer meeting in Orange County. It was like I think it was called Fire and Glory Night. And there was a preacher from Africa, Gershom Salaka. And I show up there and I've got no idea. I mean, I'm Catholic. I know, you know, all the prayers I know, and I'm not bagging that. I mean, no disrespect. It's different now for me, and I'm blessed to be Catholic, and I wouldn't change it for anything. But with that, like, I was walking into something. My parents prayed in the spirit, you know, but it was more like closet. Sorry, Mom and Dad, but it was more like I felt like kind of closet charismatic Catholics. You know, they'd pray over me when I was sick, and, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost, and then my, you know, all my ailments were gone, and then they'd go back and be Mom and Dad. And so but it wasn't unusual to me. I knew that the gifts of the Spirit were real, but it wasn't something we were flowing in every day in and day out as a family, or even as a parish. And so when I went to this prayer meeting, I mean, there's people with flags. There's, you know, you got shofars sticking out of their mouths, and they're blowing horns in my ear, and you got people dancing, you know, up in a corner to the wall. And I'm thinking, where am I? You know, and I heard the Lord say, focus on me. And so I just closed my eyes, and this was a lot. And now prayer meetings, like, I was like, okay, awesome. I could do a prayer meeting, you know, maybe like a rosary. It's going to last like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, you know, maybe some tea and coffee after. Oh my God, these Protestant brothers and sisters of mine went on for like 4 hours. It was like, they didn't want to quit. It was incredible. But so I've got my eyes closed, and I'm getting distracted by the horns and by the flags whipping me in the face, and the, you know, the shanana shaka baba, you know, going on. But I'm in it. I'm feeling it. I'm hungry and I'm empty. And so, I closed my eyes, and I kept my eyes closed. I would not let myself open my eyes. There was an altar call, kind of, even before he preached, which was rare, unless I just completely have it mixed. I was so in a different realm, but, there was a call for prayer. And, so I'm walking up there literally with my eyes closed. I wouldn't let myself open my eyes because I didn't want to be distracted. I wanted to focus on the Lord. And that was the only way I could do it at that time. And so I'm grabbing the chairs in front of me, like feeling, you know, I'm like Helen Kellering myself all the way up to the top. And I get up there and I hear him praying, because I knew my sister-in-law was next to me. And I hear him praying, prophesying, which I'd never really used that word before, over my sister, these things that only we knew as a family. And I knew this little African man did not know her. We had never been there. Not myself nor my sister-in-law, but I knew my friend had, but I trusted him, and I knew he wouldn't reveal these things either. So he's praying, and I just start weeping. My eyes are still closed. I'm weeping. I'm like, oh God, if he knows this about her, then he knows everything about me. And I'm nervous, but I'm excited. I want to, you know, I just couldn't contain. I'm just weeping. And he comes up to me. I feel a hand on my head, and, all of a sudden, just this heat penetrates my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, internally, externally. Every aspect of my being is just feeling like it's on fire. And this man starts claiming the words of God over my life. I felt like heaven opened right into me, and just proclaiming victory, victory. You're victorious. You're a victorious daughter of the one true King. You have laid it all down, and he will fill you. He will pour you. He will do all things through you now with his power. And he's just going, and I'm down. I am down on the ground, and God is doing what felt like open heart surgery. And it was just the most beautiful. I think, I don't know how long I was down. I'm going to guess it had to be a minimum of an hour, maybe two. But I was just, I know my body was kind of shaking, and I was just filled. And I felt like God had unzipped my chest and just got right into my heart, and he purified and he cleansed and he brought enlightenment to my mind. This man prophesied so heavily over me, I couldn't deny it. And wow. So God heard that cry that I was crying when I had my hands up before I got to this prayer meeting, before I even knew what it was. He heard the cry of my heart that said, just show me, Lord, show me that you're real. And he spoke through this other man right into the depths of my heart. And it was as if the man had picked up my journal. And it was just, it was incredible. And when I got up, it was about midnight, I think, and I felt like I could have ran a marathon. I'm not much of a runner, but I felt like I could have ran from Orange County to San Diego. I was on fire. I didn't know what I was on fire for. I just wanted to just go proclaim God in the streets. I wanted to cry. I wanted to laugh. I was so filled with the Holy Spirit. It was uncontainable, giggling, all this. Just, I turned into a 4-year-old and I loved it.
Yes.
Loved it.
Yes. I love it. So, wow. So like God did this open heart surgery and just like
absolutely
totally shifted everything. Now, was there any follow-up? Was there any other ministry that was important for you being set free?
Yes, absolutely. I dove into those scriptures like no other. I was hungry for the Word of God. As He was speaking the Word of God over me, it infused a hunger into me. So I wanted the Word of God, so I started reading on my own. I started worship with my friend who brought me there. I started going to more conferences. This was mostly outside of the Catholic Church, but I always brought it back in. Always, He always drew me back to the Catholic Church. And but I went through some different deliverance. There's a priest who's become a dear friend of mine, Father Greg Braxma.
Bramlage.
Yep. Out of Colorado, and he was ministering in San Diego. So I went to one of the healing deliverance masses that he did, and that's the day I was actually given the gift of tongues. I was sitting in the back of the church by myself, and I heard God say, pray for this man. He had cancer. And so I got up to go pray for him, and God literally just put His giant godly hand on my shoulder and said, no, honey, I asked you to pray for him. And so I just extended my hands, and I prayed, and all of a sudden I just kept saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then all of a sudden I just started praying in tongues and I started weeping. And so I put a lot to that, the gift that lies in praying in the Spirit. That is something every day now that is a part of my life. I go to daily Mass now. I don't want to miss the Eucharist, the beauty. I am so blessed, so blessed, so blessed by our Protestant brothers and sisters and their ministering and their preaching and their missions work. I've been with Heidi Baker in Mozambique. I've been blessed with going to IHOP Kansas City, and Mike Bickle ministered to me personally, and was with Randy Clark. And there's just so much that God has been doing. But let me tell you, I am so at home in the church when I am able to receive the Eucharist every day. My Protestant friends are like, wait, you go every day? Like, you can go to Mass every day? I'm like, yeah, I just went this morning, All Saints Day. I'm with my friend out here in Florida, and she's like, but seriously, like, every day? I'm like, yes, every day.
Yeah, we get to eat God.
So, and the sacrament of confession, I try to go once a month. There's just so many gifts within the church that I didn't activate. You know, I can blame the church and say, well, they didn't talk to me about it enough. You know, you point a finger and there's more back at yourself. And so I don't feel that ever helps anyone to point a finger. But we need to still stand on the truth, you know, of God and what He says, you know, in every aspect of our lives, but never separate from His love. So, you know, I don't want to become a hateful truth preacher.
Yep.
And leave the most important love. But I also don't want to be a hippie truth preacher that's just saying love, 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 and leaving out the truth of Him.
That's
and so
good.
I put a lot to the healing ministries within the church, Father Greg, to confession, to daily Mass, to adoration. I find myself in adoration, prostrate on the ground. I swear the guy who cleans the floors must think that I'm like out cold every day that he sees
they,
me in
they
there.
Thank
but,
you for
but
cleaning
knows
the floors
God just
for
doing
them.
Work. So, it's incredible.
So, Kim, I have a question
that we do have. Another Catholic radio station that I listen to that speaks truth has been tremendous. Always speaking right when I need it as well.
Wow. So, Kim, I have a question. So you got set free from like these desires that have been controlling your life through this powerful encounter. But do you still experience like attraction to women and things like
Absolutely.
That? Okay. And so can you speak into that? Like for anybody that wants to understand, go for it.
Yeah, for sure. So the way that I see it, on October 17th, God absolutely did open heart surgery. He didn't give me a new heart. He cleaned my heart, right? He got it back down to the root that he gave me when I was first conceived into my mother's womb. And so, but out of his extravagant love, he gives me choice to choose him every day. And so the desires, I don't know the right word, but the temptation, you know, I can see a beautiful woman or just have an attraction to someone, another woman, but now I know the truth, right? He's revealed the truth. I remain in the truth of him through all these things I just went through with you guys. And I still have choice. I could easily say, you know what, I'm done with this, but God has showed me personally. He let me taste and see the beauty, and now the other doesn't compare. But I would be lying to say that it doesn't sometimes come through my mind, or I sometimes don't think, oh, my God, I love my friend so much, I could just live with her, because we need that. It's okay to have these draws to other women, but where is the line? Where did God say this is the line, and don't cross it, my darling, for you, for your well-being, for the plans I have for your life? So, you know, that's the thing is now I just have this choice because he showed me a banquet. And then, but the snacks right there that I was feeding my flesh on are still available. But in comparison to the widespread banquet that he has laid before me, it doesn't feel like as much of a temptation almost at all. But the moment I will say this, I need to make sure that this is out there. Is that so from 2014, radically change, transformed. I did about a year later say, I've got this, God. Thank you. You're awesome. And I'll be my God again. And I kind of ran, not from him, but I thought I was running with him, but I was way ahead of him. And I thought I could minister and handle and do all this. And I did. I actually fell. I chose because I was not engulfed in him. You know, it's the fear of the Lord that he keeps burning into my heart in such a beautiful way that I had lost. And it's not the fear of the Lord, like, oh, I'm scared of you. I'm scared of you, big man in the sky. Oh my God, Daddy, I don't want to be away from you. Yeah. I don't want to be outside of your presence. I don't want to be outside of your glory. I don't want to be outside of your will. And so I had lost that because I thought I had it from there. I thought it was just like this injection and I'm like now vaccinated.
Yep.
You know? And he's not a vaccine. He's a friend. He's a father. He's a savior, you know? And so that is a relationship. And so I did, I ended up, falling back into that briefly. And then, you know, by his grace alone, radically set free from that again by choice now. And if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. And you're like availing yourself to like daily mass and the sacraments and like the worship and adoration. And like, it's the presence of God that keeps us to live out that be perfect as my Heavenly Father's perfect command that we have from the Lord. Now, Kim, we only have a few minutes left, but I know God's called you to minister to other women who are caught in this this bondage of like a lesbian lifestyles. So can you tell us this? Oh, you told me the story about going to prison. Can you share that with our listeners?
Oh,
we only have a few minutes, though.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'll make it really quick. I was asked to share. I do a prison ministry on Sundays, and we go in and we just minister and love on these women in prison. And so I was asked to share my testimony, particularly on sexuality. And that is not necessarily a place that you'd raise your hand for. That was actually the first time I ever shared just on sexuality and my heart and the very sensitive parts of my heart on that. And it was to probably about 70 women inmates. And the Holy Spirit just used me. I was simply a vessel. And the words came out, and it was, I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit scared, you know. I'm not the biggest person, and so I might act like it, but I'm physically not that big, and there's some really intense women in there, and so I was a little bit fleshly scared, but I knew that God had this and that he set it up. And so anyways, after I shared my heart and just unzipped all of me and let God just use it, a woman came up to me and she said, we need to talk. And I'm like, oh boy, this is it. I had a one-hit wonder and God's already taken me home. I thought I was done. And I said, okay, and absolutely. And she just looks at me and she says, I'm married to a woman. And I just looked in her eyes and like every part of my heart just like ached for her. to a place I didn't even know I had. And I felt like the Father just gave me his heart for a few moments. And I just looked at her for the life of me. I could not get any words out. And she just stared at me. And then she broke. She started crying. And she just fell into my arms and just started weeping and weeping and weeping. And I just prayed in the Spirit over her and with her and loved on her and held her and just prayed for the Father to just reveal more and more. And she, after she came up from the swimming pool that we were both, you know, standing in, she looked at me and she said, "I don't want this anymore. I've known it's a lie. I've known it, but it's comfortable and I've gotten used to it. And it's all I know." She said, "I'm so scared." And I said, "He's got you. He's got you. He had me. He has you. He has every one of us. And this is what he hung on that cross for, is for you and you alone. And he would do it all over again." And she just said, "I'm so finished. Every word you spoke pierced my heart. Every word you spoke pierced my heart." She said, "I haven't been to church in God knows how long. And he called me back into this place. This is my first time back in church. And go figure. Only my God would have you speaking on this very thing that's holding me back from him in a deeper way." And it was just so beautiful. This woman just blessed my life. I saw in the heavenly realms the gifts and the plans that God has for her and the ministry within her. And it's just going to be glorious. To this day, this was about a month and a half ago, she is radically set free. She is radically, radically set free. She, her desires, she said, are gone. She said, I have a hunger for God. I want more of him. I want more of him. And I know he called me into ministry with women, but to lift them up, not bring them in bed. And just, it's just radical, just wow. Radical. And I know this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning.
This is so good.
It's beautiful.
Praise the Lord. Kim, we have to take a break. I want to thank you so much for sharing your testimony on Encounter Radio.
Absolutely.
So everyone, you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio with EWTN Radio and syndicated across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're going to take a break, but we'll be on right back with our third and final segment. Stay tuned.
This is all about, let's go ride Harleys.
Let's get quiet and go into contemplative prayer. So I want to show men that real Christians are cowboys. If you're sold out for Jesus, there's nothing more masculine you can do.
Bear Wozniak leads a rolling retreat across the United States. Join these real Catholic men as they ride from the Atlantic coast of Florida to the Pacific coast of California, all the while going deeper into their relationship with the Lord. Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak, Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN-TV.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
You know, I didn't want to hurt my child. It's not what was happening in my mind at that time. It was just all the fear and the panic. And you've got Planned Parenthood telling you it's not a baby, and it just gets all so confusing. But I'm here to speak out that the aftermath of abortion is not worth it, because I cry every day for my children.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Encounter. Wow.
Wow.
That was crazy. I feel like there's so many things that we could say about this. I think number one, there's a lot of narratives about how do people come to the point of same-sex attraction? And I know I bought this narrative early on just from reading different books and things like that, oh man, a girl had a bad relationship with her father, so she just rejected men. Mm-hmm. And then, then with Kim's story, she didn't have that. She had an amazing relationship with her father. And I feel like we cannot oversimplify this reality of same-sex attraction. We can't oversimplify it, or else we reduce it to something that's purely naturalistic. But there's a spiritual component going on here. And for her, it was this temptation of pride. Mm-hmm. I can have this. I can have the unattainable thing.
Yep.
And even in Paul in Romans, when he's talking about homosexuality, he never reduces it down to a purely material thing. It's always a spiritual reality. And he's talking about this idolatry that actually is involved with this, which is a very spiritual temptation going on. But even more so, talking the origins, Dan, I'm blown away by the fact that the encounter moment that she shared that infused in her the grace to walk out of that lifestyle is the key. And I want to go to the fact that she was taken by the youth minister friend, the Catholic youth minister friend, that was that she was actually helping out. She was Catholic the whole time, okay? In that state of confusion, so much human trickery and deceit, even within the church, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until she went to this night of worship where, you know, the Holy Spirit just spoke to her through another person. This is the gift of prophecy, listeners, okay? The gift of prophecy is where you hear God's voice for another person. You get that revelation, that interpretation. You share it, and this is what it does. Paul says this, okay, about the gift of prophecy, okay? And he says in verse 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24, but if everyone is prophesying and an unbeliever or uninstructed person should come in, he will be convinced by everyone and judged by everyone. The secrets of his heart will be revealed, and so he will fall down and worship God, declaring, God is really in your midst. I love it. Like, he says, people will fall down. She's thinking to herself, this guy is speaking these words over her life, speaking into her life. And she's thinking, like, has he been following me around? And God revealed to that minister at that moment, like what was going on in her heart and what God was calling her to. And the amazing light that he was calling her to walk into. And she actually falls down under the power of the Holy Spirit, just like the Bible says right here. And it gave her this grace to break out of that. And Dan, like, I'm thinking to myself, and I remember talking to her as well off air, if it wasn't for that gift of prophecy flowing in that church in the moment, she wouldn't be on this radio station. She wouldn't be giving a testimony of the power of God.
Yeah, we just need the spiritual gifts in the church, right?
Yeah,
like it's so important because the light came into the world and the light was able to penetrate her heart at that point and dispel the darkness through the gift of prophecy. And just such a powerful reality that God is bigger than any of the brokenness we have in our life, right? And I think what amazed me about Kim's story was that she was like doing ministry work, like, right?
Yeah.
She was like in ministry and actively, I guess, moving the gospel forward, yet had this darkness in her life that she wasn't able to overcome. And then God broke through.
Yeah.
And God wants to break through into all of our lives and God wants to break through in all the darkness that we have. You know, I was just, I love St. Paul in the Romans in chapter 8, he says, what will separate us from the love of Christ, right? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? And I think sometimes we have these things that we're like, I'm never going to be able to overcome them. I'm never going to be able to overcome my anger, my impatience. I'm never going to be able to overcome this lust, right? And what will separate us? Nothing, right? He says, no, in all of these things, we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. That we are more than conquerors, and God wants to overcome any darkness that's in our life, in our loved one's life. We just need to turn to him in prayer and ask that the light would penetrate the darkness and dispel it.
So good. You guys ready to pray?
I'm ready to pray.
Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the power of your prophetic word that was spoken into Kim's life. God, I pray that there would be a release of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And St. Paul, you said, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts above all that you may prophesy. God, we desire the spiritual gifts. We do desire prophecy because you have made us priests, prophets, and kings in Christ Jesus. So Lord, we desire prophecy, not for our own sake, but that we may speak your word to other people's lives, that they will be convicted and fall down and know that God is present in the church. So Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you also, God, that you are you're using the gifts of the Holy Spirit to bring people back to the church. And I thank you, Father.
Yeah, I just see darkness in someone's mind, and I just want to dispel that darkness. So in the name of Jesus, we cast out any darkness and mindsets, and we just call the light of Jesus Christ to enter your mind right now to renew the truth of the faith in your mind. Come, Holy Spirit, any darkness in the heart, we cast that out in the name of Jesus, and we call the light of Jesus Christ to enter your heart. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter. Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio, EWTN Radio, and aired across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. To learn more about us or the show, or to hear a copy of this show, you can go to www.encounterradio.org. That's www.encounterradio.org. If you have an amazing, life-changing testimony that you would like to share, visit EncounterRadio.org, and you can submit your testimony for consideration. We thank you so much for joining us, and we pray that God gives you the grace to respond to every encounter He gives you today. God bless you.